Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, we're going to take a look at MLW Underground number 28, but of course, as per usual, let's hit up the news. First of all, there was no MLW Fusion on Vice this week that I'm aware of. If there was, it was at the time frames that they don't normally throw Fusion on, so I didn't really bother. So it made my job easier, less digging up on the old Twitter machine and backlogs of audio content. So, I don't have any specific recommendations for you this week, so just go ahead and, I don't know if you haven't yet already, listen to every episode. There's like 82 of them now. That can last you all day. So if you got nothing better to do, which you never have anything better to do besides listening to this podcast, you should go check that out. Meanwhile, in actual news, we get some news that didn't come from Alicia Atoot about Battle Riot. We have a whole host of folks who are entering the Battle Riot itself, including Eres, Kevin Koo, Mads Krugar, who follows me on Twitter, by the way, as you should too, at The Nova of Cass, Myron Reed, your middleweight champion, Gino Medina as well. So all those folks are entering the Battle Riot, the 40-man Battle Royal type thing, where you could also be eliminated by pinfall or submission. Winner, of course, gets a title shot at the World Heavyweight Championship, held currently by Jacob Fatu of Contra. In other Battle Riot news, another match has been signed for the card. It is the debuting Davey Richards taking on TJP. So, Battle of the Guys the internet doesn't like because they're kind of dunces. Going at it one-on-one at Battle Riot. Also, if you're planning on getting tickets for Battle Riot, you should have already because now it's sold out and you're not getting tickets. So, good on MLW, though, for selling out their first major live event since the pandemic started, since the Super Series in Mexico, even, according to various press releases. But, you know what? Never fret, because MLW is hitting the road. They have announced a return to Philly for the Fightland card October 2nd at the 2300 Arena. I think I said 2300 Arena. I also may have said... Alright, now let's get down to the brass tacks of this show. It is, of course, our review of the latest edition of MLW Underground from 2004. It is episode 28. Our main event tonight is Vampiro taking on Raven. Anywho, we start the show off with the aftermath of Terry Funk versus Steve Corino in an no-rope barbed wire match. They haven't shown the match, we just get to see the end of it, and so I'm guessing it's no-rope barbed wire because there are no ropes, and there's a lot of barbed wire, and there's a Terry Funk lying wrapped up in barbed wire. The Extreme Horsemen are taunting the crowd and whatever, as Eric Guarguillo is like, "How dare they do this? Loud noises and I'm annoying!" And people are trying to cut Funk out of the, you know, barbed wire. When everything is said and done, though, a wild Gary Hart appears. He gets a microphone, puts some soft leather shoes to Funk, basically notes that, you know, wants to know why Funk is refusing to quit now, because 15 years ago, he quit on Gary Hart. So he should probably quit now. Quit now, Funk. Quit now. Put some soft kicks in. Funk ends up throwing a chair at him eventually, which then makes Hart hit Funk with the chair. And we leave. This leads into our introduction. Once again, no more dulcet tones of Pyroman 5000. We are now battling without honor or humanity. Eric Guarguillo and Julia Smokes welcome us to the show. Guarguillo runs down the show like he's an auctioneer. Like, I couldn't get anything, like, out of his mouth. Just kept going and going and going. Like, even over the ring announcer, who's getting us ready for our first match. This first match happens to be the Havana Pitbulls of Rocky Romero and Ricky Reyes taking on Los Maximos. Your hardcore wrestling fans will know the Havana Pitbulls due to their stint in Ring of Honor in the early days of that company. And they both kind of go on to slightly more interesting things, I guess you could call it. Romero was a pretty big deal in New Japan, and he's one of the Gaijin liaisons. And he's also made a return or two to Major League Wrestling the last year or so. And then Ricky Reyes played Cortez Castro in Lucha Underground, but otherwise hasn't really been heard too much from in the mainstream wrestling audience, though anyone associated with Lucha Underground, in my humble opinion, has a nasty tendency to be awesome. Unless they're utter dirtbags in real life, of course. Like, there's some folks that, like, can go F off, and I wouldn't care. And anyway, Los Maximos, we know them. They've been here since day one in MLW Underground, except they're starting to show a new mean streak, and evidently you're riffraff now, I guess, according to Sanjay Dutt. Anywho, we're going to have a match, so we should probably just kind of hop right to it. Looks like we are starting off with Rocky Romero and Jose Maximo. They trade holds for a bit, with neither of them really coming out on top before they tag in their respective partners. It doesn't take long, though, for the action to spill outside the ring and we get a quick brawl. It doesn't last long, and nothing terribly exciting happens outside the ring there. Which is kind of weird, because there wasn't even a dive. Like, what? Independent wrestling without a dive outside the ring? Like, that's cray-cray, man. That is just cray-cray. Anywho, never mind that. We come back in the ring, we get some tandem offense by the Maximos on Romero. Rocky ends up kicking his way free, allowing the Havana Pitbulls to get some tandem offense of their own. The Maximos do come back, hit Maximo Elimination, which is a variation of the high-low total elimination, you know, spin kick, leg sweep combo, followed up by what is called the washing machine, which I don't know if I've ever actually heard it called it that, but it's a variation of a tandem, like, windmill slam, if you will. But that only gets a two count. The brothers Maximo go up top for the Spanish fly. Mind you, the true Spanish fly, which is a tandem maneuver from the top rope, not whatever everyone else calls a Spanish fly that makes me quasi-homicidal. Like, they were going for they made the original Spanish fly, and they were going for it. Didn't do it, though, because they were cut off by Ricky Reyes, who they kept calling Reese for whatever reason. But in the meanwhile, well, because the Spanish fly was averted, we hit a Cuban execution for the 1-2-3. Cuban execution is a variation of the backbreaker knee drop for the top rope combination. Anyway, Havana Pitbulls get the 1-2-3, get the win. Evidently, this was a global tag team crown round robin match, I guess. So they said at the end. But anyway, whatever. The important thing is Maximo's lost. They're angry. We'll hear about that more here in a bit. All right, we are backstage and we get some breaking news. Steve Corino has challenged Shane Douglas to a match for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship. Little known fact, Shane Douglas was the very first Major League Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion, who then threw the belt down like he did the NWA Championship. I can give my thoughts on that, which, you know what, I might as well, because you know what? I have an MLW podcast, and this is thoughts on MLW. So, my thoughts on Shane Douglas throwing the belt down. Find it tacky. It was cool and cutting edge the first time it happened back in 1993, but to totally just redo it now, redo it back in 2002, really wasn't needed, and for a belt that didn't have the prestige of the World Heavyweight, the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, I don't think it was going to do much of anything for the title, and honestly would probably not bring too many more eyes to the product since the title was introduced so young into the career of Major League Wrestling. But, you know, it's easy to critique things 20 years in the future. Sure, it sounded like a great idea back in 2002. Anywho, so we will see about that match if it comes to fruition. Douglas has since been suspended from the company for his actions, ill-befitting a world heavyweight champion, at least in Major League Wrestling. So as we mull this taste over, let's go to our next match. It is going to be Michael Modest taking on Jerry Lynn. Modest, for those of you not in the know, he was kind of one of those big deal indie guys back in the early 2000s. Very solid technical wrestler, kind of cut his teeth in Pro Wrestling Noah in Japan, and was kind of somebody the Dirt Sheets really, really liked. But unfortunately, really didn't do too much in a mainstream wrestling company. He's had a couple of matches in WCW. He was in TNA for a bit, if I'm not mistaken. But really, otherwise, you know, wasn't known to the casual fan. And then, of course, Jerry Lynn. What can we say about Jerry Lynn that we haven't already? He is freaking awesome! And he's a freshly minted good guy now, since parting ways with the Sinister Minister. According to commentary, he is looking to lead by example, being a shining beacon of light for the young lions of Major League Wrestling. But before the match could properly begin, Modest gets on the microphone, runs down the crowd, notes he's a professional wrestler, and we won't be seeing any flips, flops, or flies in the process of this match. So we will see if that comes to fruition. We start the match with some grappling before Jerry Lynn takes over with a second rope bulldog. Lynn is amazing when he's actually allowed some offense, right? Right? But Modest is begging off after some maneuvers before sending Lynn to the outside. This outside really doesn't last terribly long, but it allows Modest to take control for the next few minutes. And Modest at this point is a very meat and potatoes kind of wrestler. Nothing too terribly flashy, but all very solid. I mean, really the fanciest thing he does at this point was kind of like the turnbuckle butt-butt, you know, like Rikishi and the Usos do. Though commentary drop a name drops the Iceman King Parsons, because that's one of the things Gigwello or whatever you want to pronounce his name, like, he's really fond of, like, being like JR and just dropping random wrestlers from 1992, because he'll eventually also name drop Buzz Sawyer, which is not a name, you know, dropped terribly often on commentary. But Jerry Lynn gets an opportunity to come back, hitting a front dropkick off the top rope. Lynn fires up, hits his jumping tornado DDT 4-2. Homicide comes down to the ring. He, of course, has been feuding with Lynn for off and on for some time. Distracts Lynn and even gets to drop his throat across the top rope, allowing Modest to hit a roll-up with the tights for the win. Big victory upon his debut for Michael Modest. I mean, say what you want, Jerry Lynn's win-loss record is not the best, but, you know, it's still kind of a big deal to beat Jerry Lynn, especially when you really don't have much name value coming into the company. But yeah, so, you know, solid match there, kind of a solid introduction to Modest, even though he didn't get too much in the line of offense in, but, you know, we could see more, maybe he'll get a bigger opportunity to shine. Anywho, we get some breaking news. Shane Douglas is in talks with MLW management to possibly get his match. As we're getting this news, Los Maximos interrupt. They are angry about how the match goes, and they're pretty much just challenging everybody. Sanjay Dutt, challenging some guy called Dark Fuego, which we haven't seen on TV yet, so I have no clue what's going on there, but they're angry, and we should expect the unexpected, I guess. But, you know, you know what we should expect, though? It's about halfway through the show. We should expect some commercials. So, stay tuned, take a pause for the cause, listen to the folks who pay me the big bucks to do this, and I'll be back at you in one moment. Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com. And while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's C-A-S-S, at checkout for 15% off your order. All right, we come back with PJ Freeman. This time we know it's PJ Freeman because it's the same style of interview he did last week, where he has his face mostly covered by a hoodie. he talks smack about Norman Smiley. Evidently, these two are going to have a match. And it's not about the pinfalls. It's not about the submissions. But evidently, since Smiley's a friend of Vampiro, he's going to break Smiley's neck. And then he's going to make Vampiro wonder about himself. Like, whoa, is he going to dodge PJ Freeman? I don't know. It's PJ Freeman, man. He's got a hoodie. I'm kind of scared. All right. We get an old school type phone call from JJ Dillon representing Steve Corino, your MLW World Heavyweight Champion. He's going on and 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 on about the challenge between Steve Corino and Shane Douglas. I mean, seriously, it takes for bloody ever. Like, I don't know if the script was just too long, or they just didn't give Dillon the red light, but, man, he talked forever and pretty much just said the same thing over and over again. Anywho, Steve Corino challenged Shane Douglas for the World Heavyweight Championship. Got it. Good. Could do that in less than 30 seconds. Going backstage one more time, we have the party boy, Matt Martell. He is a cool man who evidently has a cool column on MLW.com. Unfortunately, this column doesn't exist anymore, and Matt Martell would eventually change his name to Matt Stryker. You know, if you couldn't remember or missed the episode a couple weeks ago where Martell made his debut with the company. Anyway, we also get another breaking announcement that Shane Douglas has accepted Steve Corino's challenge. So in the main event of the next big MLW event that has already happened, we will get, for the World Heavyweight Championship, Steve Corino versus Shane Douglas. Also announced in a no DQ match, the Extreme Horsemen will take on the Samoan Island Tribe and a mystery partner. That will happen at, I think they called it Taboo, which will be the day after whichever big event Steve Corino and Douglas is main eventing. Anyway, it is time for our main event, Vampiro versus Raven. And these two have been friends and enemies, just even within the ranks of MLW. And as far as I know, this is their first one-on-one match with the company. Maybe their only one-on-one match with the company. But Steve Corino joins us on commentary. Raven gets on a mic, starts with a dad joke, notes that this is a screw face match because Vampiro's face is pretty screwed up. But otherwise, it's a Fort Lauderdale, Clockwork Orange, House of Fun match. Basically, no DQ, falls count anywhere, Raven's rules, however you want to look at it. Vampiro, though, gets the start on Raven. Raven tries to go for the lockup. Vampiro just gives him a boot and takes over. Vampiro then whips Raven into the ropes and hits a what's it. I don't know what that was, but he dropped to the ground in the process and allowed Raven to take over. Raven sends Vampiro outside. They brawl around forever. Highlights include Raven beating Vampiro with the table. Doesn't go through it, just, like, whips him into it, chucks it at his head, whatnot. Vamp takes over, runs through the crowd with Raven. Raven gets busted open on a bump by Mist. Vamp is also bleeding at some point or another, too. I didn't realize this until Vamp goes for a pin out in the arena floor, fighting through the crowd. Vamp hits a big running pump kick into some furniture on Raven. We eventually make our way to the ring, where Vamp misses a tornillo, allowing Raven to hit his comeback. Vamp does cut Raven off, because we've seen the comeback 5,000 times. Luckily for Raven, though, this comeback gets cut off after Vamp goes to get a chair, and Raven hits a big super kick. We get two drop toe holds on a plastic folding chair for two count each, so two count times two on a folding chair. Raven goes to go get a metal folding chair because maybe he'll have better luck with that. But Vamp kind of counters him after he sets up the chair, but knocks the chair over. So Raven gets angry and just chucks the chair into referee Quad City own Mickey J. So the referee is out cold. Raven hits an even flow DDT for a five count before he realizes that he messed up big time. Because without a conscious referee, you technically can't win the match, which, as someone who advocates for the severe beating of referees, I do understand that if you're technically trying to win the match, that is a terrible, terrible strategy. But Raven kind of figures this out and decides to go for some more offense, gets the chair ready, and Vampiro hits a big spinning kick into the chair, knocking Raven out. Mickey J recovers just in time to count the 1, 2, and/or 3. Your winner, Vampiro. Commentary really puts over that Raven is kind of on a downslide at this point. He's not won too many matches in Major League Wrestling, but we'll see what's next for the reformed cult leader. But that was your main event. So, you know, it was an interesting show, kind of the way. Not as interesting as it was in previous weeks. I had higher hopes for Raven versus Vampiro, that it'd be a little bit crazier. But that was not to be. But, you know, you can't complain about a decent brawl outside the ring. And, of course, there's a ref bump. Who doesn't love a ref bump? You know, a solid opener tag team match. I think the middle match with Mike Modest left a little bit to be desired. There wasn't really any fire spots, per se. Jerry Lynn hit, like, one big comeback that was kind of great. And then, meh. But that being said, you know, it's 2004. We have hindsight on our side, but can't complain too terribly much other than that. Anywho, so, with the show coming to a close, gotta get you guys over to the plug section. So, of course, please stay tuned for the ways you can help the show, whether it's by following things or checking out the monetary section of the board. Of course, I appreciate every listen we get. Appreciate all the listeners that bother, because this is a small-time podcast with big, big dreams, rattling on incoherently as per usual. And as such, it is time to let you go. I will see you all next week.
MLW Confusion is a member of the One Stop Wrestling family. It is produced by Rob Cameron. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and leave a review in addition to telling your friends, family, and enemies. Word of mouth promotion is very important to small podcasts like us. If you're interested in keeping up to date on Confusion, it can be found on Facebook at MLW Confusion, all one word, no hyphen, and the Twitter is at the Nova of Cass. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade our equipment, my virtual tip jar can be found at www.kofi.com/Casanova, CASSONOVA, or for more bang for your buck, visit my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Casanova, same as with the Ko-Fi. For as little as $1 a month, you can get early access to the podcast without those pesky ads, plus other exclusive goodies. So be like Maverick45 and Alan Schroeder, who've been there since the beginning, and join up. The written form of all of these links can be found in the episode description. Thanks!